Welcome once again to another episode of the Horizon Roundtable. I am Bob McDonald. Matt Dudek, who you normally would find on Twitter at Horizon Matt, will not be joining us today. You can find him, though, on Twitter at Horizon Matt. You can find us on the web at horizonroundtable.com. You can find links to all of our social sites and podcast sites where you can find us at horizonroundtable.com/subscribe. Become a patron at patreon.com/horizonroundtable. And we did promise you that we were going to talk to some coaches because we've hired the Horizon League's they've hired quite a few of them. So, for this episode, we're going to talk to Detroit Mercy's new head coach, Mark Montgomery. He just spent the last few years over with Tom Izzo on the Michigan State bench. He did spend a little bit of time at Detroit Mercy as an assistant. We'll talk to him about that. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and get into it. All right, so I am joined right now by Detroit Mercy's new head coach, Mark Montgomery. Coach, thank you very much for joining us. Really happy to have you.
Thanks for having me on. Let's during this interview, let's just call me Coach Monty, and then we can roll from there. I don't hear Mark Montgomery too often.
All right, Coach Monty. So as we saw, this was a pretty comprehensive process to get to the point where you're now the coach. And you talked in your press conference about the wait to get the call. But as with any job, the waiting is the hardest part. Did you do anything to maintain your confidence that you indeed were the right man for the job as you waited?
On the wait, we were still in the NCAA tournament. So when the process started, we still had games. Then you had the NCAA. Then we had the Big Ten tournament. Then you had the NCAA tournament. So it wasn't just weighing on me. But once we lost in the NCAA tournament, then to me, the weight's on. And, what I still did, what I always do after the season, you have to, take a sigh of relief and then, just reflect back.
Sure.
It's like any coach, you're going to watch some film. You're going to start making recruiting calls. You're going to spend a little time with your family. But a lot of, especially our staff at Michigan State and my close friends, they knew I was in the running for the position. It's a year. What do you think? When are they going to name you? When are you going to find out? So that kind of stuff, when it's not on your mind, if someone texts you or someone calls and then other people start finding out they want to be on your staff or you have a position, then it was, hey, I got a couple players for you. So those kind of things just really keep it on your mind.
Sure. You mentioned working through the tournament with both the Big Ten tournament and the obviously the NCAA tournament at Michigan State. Tom Izzo, of course. We've heard a lot about you working with Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo has spoke very highly of you, especially during this entire process. When you finally got the call for this job, did he impart any advice that he may not have previously?
I just wanted to make sure that Coach Izzo being a positive figure to me. He recruited me, high school player, played there 4 years. Stayed in touch over all the years. He got me into coaching. Coached at Michigan State 10 years. Then I come back for another 3 years. He's like, are you sure this is what you want to do? And just the reassurance is that, hey, this is a big time rebuilding job. Are you sure? And no doubt about it, I was sure in my mind right when I started the process through the search firm. But I was confident and he was great when I said, no, coach, feel great about this opportunity, especially the fit and the dynamics of it being in the Detroit metropolitan area. He just wanted to make sure, big move for myself. I just gotten back. He just wanted to make sure that I was 100%. And he was behind me 100%.
All right. So as we know, this is your second stint at Detroit Mercy. First was in 2021 when you were a part of Mike Davis's staff for a few months. You mentioned this in the press conference, and it's actually an observation I think I made at the time, is that the Titans were on a roll when you were there. Was there anything in particular that you brought with you to help spark that team at that point in time?
Well, Mike brought me in that, he's an offensive guru. So
sure.
I brought more of the defensive side of the ball, the defensive philosophy, we're going to cut out, we're going to rebound, we're going to be well prepared for the time he was kind of playing a unique zone, or we're going to be prepared for different actions other teams are going to do. But Mike just said, hey, be yourself. I've been a head coach for 10 years. Whatever you see, say, I have no big ego. Mike said that, hey, I just want to win, help us win. We've been friends for years. So I just, in practice, I just found different times to say different things or point out some different things. I led some film sessions, I did some scouting reports. So I was just trying to at the beginning, just establish the relationship with the players. So the more and more practice we had, more and more I got a chance to spend with the student athletes, they got comfortable for me. I told them, I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere else. They have to kind of believe that you're going to be there. You show up in January and it'd be just a consultant for a couple of weeks. So I said, no, I'm here all the way through, start traveling with the team. I never missed a day of practice, never missed a meeting. So I got to thank Mike Davis for giving me that opportunity because it was COVID. I had nowhere else to go. Yeah. I needed to be in the gym. That was my safe haven, being in the gym. And, he opened up his arms to me and the team to me, and it was a good run. I love pretty much.
Sure. Now, not just obviously with that time at Detroit Mercy, you were – you've been familiar with the league, not just as an assistant in Michigan State, where Michigan State played a bunch of Horizon League teams. Same thing with Northern Illinois. What did you learn about what have you learned about the Horizon League and its teams during the course of your career, as it relates to what the league is all about, and kind of how you're going to approach competing in the league now that you are at the head job?
Well, believe it or not, when I was at Michigan State, we didn't play many Horizon League teams. But when I went to Northern Illinois, being right there in Chicago, we played UIC. That's a bus trip. We played Milwaukee. Actually, we played Oakland. Played them twice. Was in a tournament that we won down there. And then Campy came back the following year, and we beat them in DeKalb. So we played Northern Kentucky when they were good, when they made the tournament. So I was already kind of familiar with it. But when I came here I like how the Horizon League have the travel partners where you go to Milwaukee and you play Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Mid-American Conference doesn't have that. You go to this IUPUI and let's just say Cleveland State or Cleveland State and Youngstown in Northern Kentucky. And Wright State. So I like that idea of being where I'm in a basketball only conference and they have travel partners, kind of like Pac-10 or Pac-12, which doesn't exist anymore. What was the second part of that question, Bob? I'm sorry.
What is that insight from your previous exposure to Horizon League teams? What did you take away from that you can use now that you are a Horizon League coach now?
I found that I said the Mid-American Conference, it seemed like it was a mini event where we're so much more offensive. The Horizon League is more free flowing, offensively, offensive minded coaches, offensive minded teams. You have to adjust. It's gonna be different coaches coming in the league. I'm not gonna be the only new coach. Guy at IUPUI is going to be a new basketball coach there. It's a new coach at Green Bay. He wasn't there when I was here. So I'm going to have to adjust the different styles. That's just how it's basketball in general. But being here for those 3 months, remember, it was COVID, but just watching on TV and following the lead. I was just watching film this morning on Youngstown State. Unbelievable crowd. already know when we go down the street to 75, they have an unbelievable crowd, and that's our rivalry. You know, Northern Kentucky, since playing them, great facility. The Horizon League has great facilities, great crowds, great fans. Student bodies are invested in the coming to the game. Robert Morris is now new in the league, new gym. So it is a basketball-only league where administrations throughout the conferences are investing in basketball, which is great. And I know Detroit Mercy is making that same investment. So excited to be in the league, excited to be a head coach again.
I'm glad you mentioned the rivalry. Well, specifically, the one I'm thinking of course, is the Metro Series rivalry between Detroit Mercy and Oakland. That, as we've long talked about a lot of the different internal rivalries within the Horizon League, this is one of those throw the records out type of rivalries that fans relish. Obviously, Oakland has been a little bit more successful over the course of the last few years. You got a taste of that rivalry in 21, albeit with COVID, and unfortunately the fan participation wasn't there because they weren't there because of COVID. Now that you're at Detroit Mercy, and obviously you're going to have the crowds there, where do you see the Titans in terms of, you know, working to retake kind of the edge in that rivalry moving forward?
Well, the store down the street, you know, I've been a part of, course, the Michigan State rivalry. It's probably one of the biggest. Same thing when I was at Central Michigan as assistant coach. Our rivalries with, you know, Western and Eastern, I think, rivalry, sure. You know. This is a big one. I mean, we are close. And right now they have the lead. They have a lot of momentum, especially from that stuff, their success in the NCAA tournament. You know, it's one of those things, like you say, you just roll up your sleeves and it's time to play big boy basketball. And you're doing it not just for your team. You're doing it for, you know, our 90,000 plus living alums. You're doing it for the student body. We're doing it for the city of Detroit. So it's going to be fun. I know it's going to be competitive. I will have my guys definitely on edge. And like all rivalries, it's only one game. And you get to play them twice a year. So that's only two games. Sometimes, so let's do more than those two games. And for it to become a rivalry, we always start winning some games, and they have had the upper hand for a while on that. So we have to figure out a way to be a rivalry where we start winning games. But we'll be definitely, you know, when you get your conference schedule, and you can, you know, you always highlight or circle a couple games. I know those two dates will be circled, and we'll be ready when the time.
So in the press conference, I wanted to refer back to that. You stressed this strategy where Detroit Mercy will outwork, out-recruit, and out-prepare your opponents. Can you elaborate on what that will look like, especially in your first year?
Well, it's not for the players and for the players and coaches. We have to outwork other coaches. You know, we have to outwork them on the floor. You know, outwork them in the weight. We got to outwork them when you go to recruiting. You have to be in the gym. We have to be at the AAU event. We have to outwork them, make sure our relationships are great. And then preparation is, you know, it started last week for myself when I got back to Detroit Mercy. So spring workouts are important. I have to figure out the roster. And then when we get back when the student athletes leave, their individual summer workouts at home are very important. Because it's all about the preparation that you're going to put in season. And then when we come back, summer session two, those 8 weeks in the summer, we're going to be prepared because we're going to already have recruited. And then that's when the real work is really going to start to get us ready for the fall. And then that's going to carry over to the preseason. So it's our job to, you know, work hard as we can as a staff. Players got to work as hard as they can. As individuals, figure it out as a team, but we're definitely going to be prepared for every team we play, and preparation makes you that much more prepared when it comes to games.
Now, one of the things that struck me when you, because it looks like you've already talked to your players, already interacted with them in the last week. One of the things that kind of has struck me in the course of the last week, that even in this era of the transfer portal, specifically, you know, when coaches change, a lot of the student athletes are already going into the portal before a coaching change has been, you know, once a new coach has been announced. What struck me is there was a significant number of Titan players that opted to stay out of the portal even as this process was playing out. In your short time, have you been able to assess who you have coming back and what they can bring to the table for you next season?
I think it's still a work in the process. What I tell this the team here, that we have a 2.5 week window, almost a 3 week window, where we're doing workouts, I'm doing team meetings, I'm doing individual meetings, so we can get a chance to get familiarized with each other, because a lot of student athletes come because of head coach or an assistant on staff or some connection. I'm not connected to any of them. I want to give them all a fair chance. Two of the best players are in the portal. We spoke. We sat down. They had some other opportunities. I understand that. Mm-hmm. So the whole transfer portal, it works both ways. The ones that didn't get in the portal right away, maybe they didn't have anything going, or maybe they wanted to see, they liked it here. They wanted to see who the new head coach was going to be, and they're going to give me that opportunity. So, with, you know, I will know more within the next couple of weeks, you know, who definitely is who's staying. But, you know, I know one thing. The guys on campus right now, they're working hard. I have 10 players that's here right now, and they're working. Like I said, we're doing team workouts, still lifting weights 3 times a week, and I try to meet with them periodically during the day where I'm not so busy with things. But I told them when I came in too, be careful on the transfer portal, because first of all, they have to be extremely eligible. Sometimes when a coach leaves, guys drop the ball on the academics. You still have to be a student athlete. Your credits do have to transfer. That's a big thing. But, you know, they get a chance to meet with their coaches and their parents, figure it out. I get a chance to meet with my staff, and I'm still trying to put it into place, figure it out, and then we come to a common ground and kind of go from there.
As far as your staff is concerned, where are you kind of at the process of bringing your staff together?
In my mind, my staff is finished. It's never like that, because HR, background check, different other coaches you want to interview who are still part of other staff. That's always a process in the work. You know, as coaches, we always have our wish list. You know, it's almost like Christmas time. You got to have a wish list. You know, you have coaches that you're familiar with, you have relationships. I just said on my staff, I just want to make sure I experience guys that already have unbelievable contacts, recruiting contacts. They've already been through numerous seasons of college basketball. They understand the transfer portal. They understand junior college basketball. They understand high school, prep schools, internationals. I think the more experience you have on staff, you can hit the ground running a lot faster. They know scheduling. They know budgets. They know the grind of what it takes to be successful. So that's the kind of staff I'm trying to bring in. And they know how I coach. They know how my energy is. And they know my expectations, and that only helps.
Right. Speaking of recruiting, of course, you know, not just with the transfer portal. Now we're in the era, the NIL era, the name, image, likeness era. And you know, Detroit Mercy, along with other Horizon League schools, of course, and mid majors in general, there has been sometimes a struggle as far as succeeding in recruiting. So given that we're in this new era of the transfer portal and NIL, what is your plan to succeed, kind of where there have been some challenges?
Well, first of all, the name, image, and likeness, I liked the ideal of it when it first came out. So it was supposed to be, you know, more business oriented, more you can run your camp, more that you have sponsorship through different companies. Now it's turned into more of a collective, more as in it's a pay to play. And that's an interesting thing. So at our level, it's going to take even more fundraising to get people to give for a name, image, and likeness. We're going to try to do some unique opportunities for our student athletes and reach out to have a stronger collective. But as you say, as players, even at the NBA level, endorsement deals come through when you're a successful player and you're winning games. So first of all, you got to start winning games and put an unbelievable product on the floor. And then individually, you will benefit from how successful your team is and how successful you can be individually. So it's a two-part thing. And when we talk about it with our student athletes, don't always believe what you hear or what you read. Mm-hmm. You know, those contracts are none and void. You hear players getting X, Y, Z. That's not always the case. So, you have to be careful with that. But we're going to give them the education to understand the name, image, and likeness. And they can have agents and they can have different agreements with companies. And it's going to be a big fundraising part on our part. And we're going to reach out to corporations, businesses, our alums to give back.
During your press conference, you made mention of Detroit Mercy's story past, and how you want to connect the success that has been a part of UDM's history with the future you want to build. As you begin to build what you want in this program, how will you take the lessons from the successes of the past and integrate them to what you envision this program to be now and in the future?
Myself, I grew up, I know Coach Watson when he was at Southwestern, of course, when he was assistant in Michigan. Great sounding board to pick up the phone and call Coach Watson. He went to the tournament in 98, 99, NIT in 01 and 02. Ray McCollum is still in the business. He's at Tulane. I think now he's at Georgia State. Very successful in 12, NIT in 13. But also just knowing the history that, Coach Watson, he did it with, Detroit Metropolitan, Detroit players. He stayed homegrown. He believed and loved this. No differently. I'm from this area other than being Detroit, Eastern Michigan. So, you look how Vitale did it in the early years, from 73 to 77, that it seemed like all his players was from Detroit, and they're all going from the Duras, the John Long, you name it. So, most mid-major programs are successful when you do an unbelievable job in-state kids, and then the kids within a four-hour radius. That's kind of how we've done it at Michigan State. I think when you do it that way, parents, friends, high school coaches, they come up and watch. So it's going to be an interesting thing. It's a lot of different ways to do it, but I want to do it within, and I think we keep both of them.
I had one last question, and this is actually obviously you were at Northern Illinois as the head coach there for quite a while. But I wanted to ask you about one specific moment, and that's in the 2015-2016 season, and Northern Illinois ended up being invited to what was supposed to be the Vegas 16, but as years have passed, we've affectionately called it the Vegas Ocho, the same year that Oakland went. Do you have any memories from that time, from your time at that tournament in Vegas that stand out?
It was an unbelievable tournament because we were at one central location. I think now they do the CDI or CIT in Florida, kind of like Vegas 2016.
Yeah, they do the CBI in Daytona Beach. Yeah, that's right.
We played a Cal. I think we played California, maybe Riverside, or one of those schools out there. I think Oakland was playing someone on the other side of the bracket. So it was an unbelievable experience for the student athletes. And all of a sudden, you lose in the conference tournament. You don't make the NIT tournament, but you still had a successful year where you win 20 games. You should be rewarded. Because, you know, the big purpose of going to college is unbelievable memories that you're going to have. I remember it. We're in Mandalay Bay. You know, you just walk right downstairs. It's like playing in, you know, one of those big time preseason tournaments, like in the Bahamas or, you know, or somewhere. But it was enjoyable. Unfortunately, we didn't go on a run. We didn't win that tournament. It was 8 other very good teams there that had unbelievable seasons too. But the experience, the memories, the kids got, you know, a reward for. I would love to, you know, bring that back or a tournament like that and be involved.
Yeah, well, we were lobbying the guy because that Twitter account is actually still active. We were lobbying them very heavily over the last year to try to bring it back. They didn't listen.
Yeah,
I'm very sad
lobby.
About that.
You know, it's down in Daytona is not a bad place either.
Yeah.
The weather and different things like that. Of course, the ultimate goal is to get into the NCAA tournament.
Of course.
Not be in the NIT, but definitely be a great experience for student athletes.
Yeah. All right. Well, Coach Monty, those are all the questions I had. We really appreciate your time. And, you know, definitely good luck to you in the off season. And we look forward to seeing what you have, you're going to be putting together for this upcoming season.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me on, buddy. Talk to you
soon. All right. Thank you. And that's going to wrap it up for us here. We thank Coach Monty once again for joining us. Next episode, as we promised, we will have Langston Wilson, who spent his last season at Milwaukee. We're going to talk to him about that and the fact he was one of the participants of the slam dunk contest in Phoenix. I'm going to ask him about that experience there. So we're definitely going to be doing that. Until then, HorizonRoundtable.com. That is where you can go to find all of our articles and all of our past podcast episodes. You can pull us up on your wherever podcasts are found, and you can pull us up on your Amazon or Google devices. So tune in next episode. Until then, thank you all for listening.